Hi there, ladies. My name is Sue Mills, and I am just so excited to speak with you on one of my favorite stories from the Bible, the Christmas story. We're all familiar with it, but I bet we can pull out some really amazing things with our time together. You know, in the midst of this craziness and busyness and COVID Christmas and, well, just the stress of it, if you pull it all away and think about the simplicity of the Christmas story, oh, don't you just love it? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read accounts in the Bible and all of the characters in that, I respond by thinking, what would I have done? Would I have been so bold to touch the hem of the garment of the Lord? Would I, while mending my nets and Jesus walked by, would I have just dropped everything and went along with him? And I bet you do as well. So I am titling this message, Responses. And it's so interesting in this story, and we can talk about so many, but I'm going to narrow it down to two, Elizabeth and Mary. Oh, we could read and discuss about Joseph and his huge disappointment when his fiancée tells him she's pregnant, at King Herod and how ruthless and cruel and paranoid he was, and his response was to kill innocent babies. The shepherds, oh my goodness, out there just doing what they do in the fields, and the sky opening up and the heavenly host, they got to hear heavenly music. Their lives were forever changed, weren't they? And then just the opposite, the wise men who traveled so far, and their response when they saw the baby, they fell to their knees and they worshiped. But for now, for the time we have today, we are going to talk about Elizabeth and Mary and a little sprinkling of Zechariah. And as many times as I have read this story, different aspects of it affects me, makes me ponder, makes me think about it. But this one, for this time, these two women just jumped right out. We're going to start with Luke 1. Verses 5 through 7, and it says this: When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from a priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Let's look for a minute at those two verses, because what I see is such a godly couple. They're older now, but they're still serving the Lord. In spite of the disappointment of what they thought was unanswered prayer, of not having children, it appears they accepted that. You don't see bitterness. You don't see them walking away from disappointment. Oh, they had given up probably on that prayer. And yet they were staying so true to the God they loved. Well, this story drops in where Zechariah, the priest, it's his time to work in the temple. And he is doing all of the things that priests do. When all of a sudden, an angel, not a cute little baby angel, but a mighty warrior, Gabriel. And can you imagine the first response of Zechariah is absolute fear, a natural response, and confusion because Gabriel's telling him, your prayer's being answered. And I'm sure Zechariah was like, What prayer? Which one are you talking about? Because I am sure that the prayer of having children had ceased a long time ago. And yet, Gabriel tells him that you are going to have a baby. Well, Elizabeth was having the baby. And his name would be John. And he would be the forerunner for the Messiah. Unbelievable. And that's exactly how Zechariah took it. He couldn't believe it. He goes, we're both old. How can this happen? How could this be? We can't have a child. So Gabriel tells him, I stand in the Lord's presence. And because you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to speak, Zechariah, until after John is born. So here's the part that gets me excited. Elizabeth, when Zechariah left that day, he was speaking, and all of a sudden he comes home and he can't talk. How does he tell her what happened that day? I don't know. Did he write it down? Did he do sign language? I don't know. But can you imagine the news when Elizabeth gets it that she's going to have a child? But you know what her first words were? When she finds out that she's going to have a baby, in verse 25 of chapter 1, she says this, "How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." That disgrace was very real in that culture, and probably she felt it every day of her life. Wow, what I don't see in this is her going, "Really? Now I'm going to be pregnant? Where were you all those years, Lord, when I was begging you for children? Where were you when I was young and healthy? You didn't answer me, and now you do, when I am so old and the timing of this, and I probably won't even see my son grow up." No, you don't see that, do you? You see her say, "How kind the Lord is, and has taken away my disgrace." That disgrace for her was very real, and that's some of the first words out of her mouth. Is that my response when God's timing is not mine, seems late, or it's a no to something I truly wanted? Oh, but I want it to be like it was for Elizabeth. And now let's jump over to Mary. She's engaged to Joseph. Now, an espousal in those days meant that although they did not consummate their relationship, they would be considered husband and wife, and in a legal binding so strong it required a divorce to break this relationship. So here's Mary, this ordinary girl, and she's doing what she does on this day, and Gabriel appears to her. And of course, her first response, she's frightened. And in verse 28, it says, Gabriel says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Well, she's confused. She's disturbed, of course. And she's trying to think of what all this means. "Don't be frightened," Gabriel says. "Mary, God is going to bless you with a son, and you'll name his name Jesus." You know, I just wonder if those words, "the Lord is with you," kept coming back to her over her lifetime. I bet it did, because it was going to be hard for her. Did she go back and reflect on those words? I know that I have looked back on key verses the Lord has given me throughout my life, and I've remembered them, and I've clung to them as a cornerstone. But here's her response. I don't know if it took her 2 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour to process this, but what is her response in verse 38? She says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." A maidservant was the lowest kind of female servant. And it just shows how much she trusted God. She knew her God, this young girl, and she trusted him. What's so incredible about this statement was she said this before she told her family. She knew they wouldn't understand. Before she told Joseph and broke his heart, he could have been mad and had her stoned. Before the townspeople who would, for the rest of her life, call her an adulteress. And yet, in modern translation, she says, "Lord, you own me. Do what you say you're going to do." Is that not an incredible response? Oh, again, I want to trust and know the Lord so well that whatever he allows in my life, I can say, "Lord, you own me. Use me to what you've called for me. I want to give you glory." Oh, you know what? I fall short. Yeah, I do. But I pray that as I grow older, my response will come easily on my lips. "Lord, you're my Lord. You're my master, and you're my savior. Do what seems best." And one last picture in this story that I want to look at is when Gabriel told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant. Can you imagine that? And all of a sudden, Mary, she takes off. We don't know how quickly, but she goes to visit Elizabeth. I see so much in that. of the Lord's tender care for both of these ladies. When I'm going through something hard and the Lord has always sends someone or someones to me, they've gone through it, they encourage me, they hold me up, they know what I'm going through, they listen. The Lord does that all the time. What a tender, loving thing that He does. After the death of my husband, and still to this day, the outpouring of love and encouragement and building me up is incredible. I know when I see these people come and help me and encourage me, I look beyond it and know it's the Lord. In Isaiah 46:4, the Lord says, "I'll be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you, and I will care for you. Sue, I will carry you along, and I will save you." Wow, that's the God who is our Savior and our Master. Well, Mary walks in and greets her cousin Elizabeth. And in verse 41, it says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry." Can't you just see this? She's jumping up and down. She's so joyful. She's so excited. And she begins to prophesy and says, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And drop down to verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill all that He has spoken." Right there, in this joyous reunion of these two, Mary gets confirmation of all the things that Gabriel had told her. And Elizabeth's excitement and joy over all of it would have been such a blessing to her, because she probably wasn't feeling joy and love and excitement back home, was she? Oh, I love the way the Lord is concerned with these two women and all they are going through with this miracles for both of them. They're both pregnant. How much can Elizabeth pour into Mary at this time? Psalms 121 says, "The Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." And I would say, oh, yes, He does. And what was Mary's response to Elizabeth and her over-the-top excitement and her confirmation of everything that had just happened to her? It was praise. This young girl in all that was ahead of her and all that was behind her. And she starts out and says, "My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And then she goes on in the Magnificat, this wonderful praising, and she knew her God. These two women and their lives, and they weren't going to be easy for either of them, but the privilege that they had to carry these mighty men of God and Mary, the Savior of the world. Oh, my heavens. But I think one of the things that marked their lives were how they responded to what the Lord was doing in their lives in the midst of some hard things. They yet praised the Lord. And so I close, and I would ask you, as I have asked myself in the midst of all of this and in this Christmas story, what's our response? What's our response to living right now in this time, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of craziness? How are we to respond? Is God still sovereign? Yes, He is. Is He still sovereign over my life? Yes, He is. Then we have reason to respond with joy, with praise, with thanksgiving. And so, ladies, I want to close with a prayer for you right now. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this story, this timeless story, but it's life-changing because you chose to become a baby. And as you grew, you chose to take the cross and purchase my salvation and each one of these ladies that are listening. Oh, Father, we are so grateful, and we thank you, and we just give you every bit of our lives. Lord, you own us, and you bought us with your precious blood. And may we look at Christmas so much differently, and our response be thank you. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas, ladies.